Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Market insight and analysis. You're listening to the opening bell of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Wednesday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber at the New York Stock Exchange. Pre-market pretty steady here after four straight S&P gains and the 50th record high of the year so far. There's a lot to watch on vaccines, retail earnings, meme stocks, and the White House summit on cybersecurity today. 10 years still flirting with 130. Our roadmap begins with signs of a potential Delta variant peak. Stocks are sitting at record highs. J&J backing a booster.
Plus, the U.S. is reaching a deal with NVIDIA for a supercomputer. This is it waits for a delayed Intel machine.
And a cyber call to action. The president set to meet with the CEOs of Apple, Amazon, Google, J.P. Morgan, and others about the growing cybersecurity threat. Overall, though, Jim, a lot of discussion about the rally we've had last couple sessions, whether or not positioning was just too cautious in the wake of what we think or hope is a rollover in Delta.
I think that we're kind of betwixt and between rollover and Delta, but the sotto voce on the Moderna and Pfizer's, they only have effectiveness for 6 months, and the breakthroughs are concentrated between month 7 and month 8. So we do get this J&J news. My information is sourced from pretty good places, and J&J news is great. We get a booster, but I think that we're all discovering that we thought that we were protected. And we keep trying to figure out how could there be so many breakthroughs. It seems anecdotal, but it's empirical. Month 7, month 8. Of course, the FDA is only advising that month 8 is where you get the booster. I think that that's because they don't feel there's enough boosters, or maybe they don't feel people will take the booster if they know if it only lasts for 6 months. So I think that there's this, you go on the one hand, you've got these companies who were prepared the most for the consumer to come back. And I would say that's Best Buy and then today Dick's. On the other hand, you have these people who are saying, you know what, we got to go get the hell out of Dodge in a panic fashion. And these are people who are beginning to realize, like Goldman Sachs, that it's false protection. Now, it does give some protection, and we got to be very careful. It's not leading to deaths. It's leading to sickness. We're not using the Regeneron drug to any way to be able to make it so keep people out of hospitals. But there's a panic among many HR departments in this country right now, realizing that, what the heck? I thought Moderna and Pfizer had longer staying power, and they don't.
Yeah, it's been this CDC study of frontline workers where efficacy goes from 91 on this one study to 66.
Yeah.
I mean, point's been made. A 66 is, you would take that vaccine.
Yes.
Still a good vaccine.
In fact, you take a flu vaccine every year that's usually less effective
50%.
Than that.
Yes, but I think there's a difference between getting that good news and thinking that you had better news. And look, obviously, the government has no interest in trying to make it so fewer people take the vaccine. But if I were the Texas governor, I'd say, hey, big shots, trying to get us to take Pfizer and Moderna? Well, that's like taking the flu shot. Optional in this country, my friends. Optional.
Right.
So this is not what we wanted if you're in favor of vaccination.
No, if you thought that you were going to have immunity or a high, very high level of immunity for a very long period of time,
right,
perhaps that's not what you want. So a lot of moving things.
Well, you know what you have to do.
The point as well about the psychological barriers,
right,
of saying COVID and whether or not it's any worse than getting the flu.
Right.
If you've been vaccinated.
But you've often.
The breakthrough case, not obviously otherwise. I don't want to even.
I've known you for a long time. You have always said that I am basically a dollar sign represented by a man.
Well, occasionally I say.
Well, I'm going to give you the occasion.
Okay.
You worry about this discussion? Buy Abbott Labs. Try getting Binax.
You can't, what, because of the test?
Because if you had Moderna or Pfizer and you thought that you were okay, well, then you're just a dang fool. It's time to test, my friend. You test this morning?
No.
Well. Get with the program.
Getting tests is getting a lot more difficult. There's no,
yeah,
it's anecdotally, absolutely,
yeah,
true.
Get with the program. You see, look, David, you got this little thing. You dip it. Okay, it's six drops, right? You put the swab in. That swab comes from
upstairs. I've got a few at home. I got to do it today, I think.
Well, you want to sit next to me?
Wednesday is testing day.
You want to sit next to me? Get that swab. 15 minutes. One line, you're right there. Two lines, sayonara.
Okay, although you're not going to, you're protected.
I don't record anything as protection these days. But
really? And that gets back to the point.
Well, I have three Moderna.
What point, then,
maybe I need seven Moderna.
All right. So at what point do then people feel really comfortable coming back to the office? Or is it never?
I think we live with it.
When do we learn that we can live with it? Now, by the way, I talk a lot about the antivirals. They're still moving along. Molnupiravir from Merck. There's a Pfizer drug as well. These are going to be important, perhaps even more important than we might have previously anticipated.
Right.
Oral antivirals. 5 days, let's say, if you test positive, you take them, and they knock down the virus dramatically. Well, is the hope.
That's the hope of you. I mean, if you're in...
Wow. You're just negative.
No, I'm realistic. It's been a very jarring group of days for people who have been trying to...
All right, live with it, and if you do get vaccinated, are not ending up in the hospital... And many of them are not ending up particularly sick.
Right.
Does that change people's view over time or not?
I think it depends on your age.
Particularly if you have younger kids at home or aren't vaccinated, then you may make different decisions.
Right. Depends on, one, your age group or comorbidities, and two, long COVID.
Yeah, something we don't understand. By the way, there are more Americans in ICUs with COVID right now than there have been throughout the course of the pandemic.
Well, then
25,000 Americans.
Then why don't we get down? Why don't we call Len Schleifer of Regeneron and have them airlift the Regeneron drip?
Yeah. Now, the vast majority of those people, 30%. Unfortunately, were not vaccinated.
Right. Well, what?
90%. 90 plus percent.
But they should be right to have the Regeneron.
Absolutely.
Just because they're not vaccinated.
No, but you keep talking about Regeneron. Regeneron use has dramatically gone up.
50,000 last week. It's nothing. 50,000.
And why do you believe that it's not being used as
NIH,
much as it might be?
NIH, FDA, CDC.
And why would they be against that?
What do I like?
I don't
do
know.
I
you keep bringing it up as though...
Okay.
Why?
Because they're not doing their jobs. Because they wouldn't do what you're doing. Common sense. No leadership. No discussion. No idea what they're doing. 8 months? How about 6 months? We say 6 months, maybe the anti-vaxxers won't take it. We say 6 months, maybe we don't have enough vaccines. We say 6 months, maybe CVS is overwhelmed. We say J&J pulled out of Walgreens, suddenly J&J's good. David, do you sense the chaos here, or are you focused on the chaos in Kabul?
It has been a lot of mixed messages for a very long time from the CDC.
Right.
I think a lot of people have been frustrated with that.
And it's not uniquely American.
I mean, not at all.
It's happening in literally countries with better rights than us.
Absolutely. I'm just saying that if you're a business person, let's go back to what we do for a living. If you're a business person and you're Goldman Sachs and it looks like that they're being overly protective, I think they're being prudent. Mass in, testing, right? And vaccination. David?
Yes, Jim. I'm in favor of all those.
By the way, Regeneron's gone from the low 400s to $700 almost.
They got the magic
since
bullet.
March.
They got the magic bullet. Yeah. They're actually hopeful that maybe the federal government will say, look, I think this is something we should use. They have not said that. They have not said, look, this is something we should be using. They've not been encouraged.
If more people vaccinated, you wouldn't need to use it. I would assume Regeneron use in people who've been vaccinated who get COVID is extraordinarily low. Although there are some, I know, who immediately get a breakthrough case, even if they have no symptoms, and just go get it.
By Regeneron.
We know some of them.
Dollar sign represented by man, by Regeneron, by Abbott. That way I don't get in trouble with the anti-vaxxers who have hijacked my mentions column and basically portrayed me as the Sith Lord, the devil, Beelzebub. What else they've been calling me?
I've gotten a
Lucifer?
Little bit of your blowback. It's not. Wow. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Crazy town out there.
Yeah. I think even the top brass has noticed that that I am the most hated person in America.
No.
The top brass of Twitter?
Twitter. They've kind of put it. I'm on the top 10 most hated. I don't know. I got a wife, kids. They like me. Ex-wife likes me. What the hell?
That's amazing.
Can't beat that.
No, you can't.
Take a vacation with.
That's right there. Take that, too.
Right?
Yeah. On your headstone. My ex-wife liked me.
My
headstone is he worked too hard. You already decided that. And then it says Jim's none better because that's the name of my pickles.
Jim, let's get to some of the meme names. Can you explain in a phrase what happened to GME and AMC and Cost yesterday?
Well, first, GME is, when you look at the categories that sold well in Best Buy, you start thinking, wait a second, this is going to translate to GME sales. I think that's absolutely true. AMC is a tougher call because the Delta variant does not make me feel like going to the movies, but there are people going. The box office. David, there's box office.
Yeah.
BO's back, David.
It's back?
Yeah.
Box office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Nabes. The Nabes are doing well. By the way, AMC does not take Apple Pay in New York City, let alone crypto.
Not anywhere near where we were pre-pandemic.
No.
No.
But AMC's got staying power.
We know it's got staying power. It's also got, almost a $20 billion market value.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
What's that to do with?
Nothing. It has absolutely nothing to do with what the stock is doing. You're right.
David.
So young. So naive.
Jeez, David.
I know.
What are you doing? I was born at night, but not last night. Who said that first?
I don't know.
Well, who had the greatest line ever on Squawk on the Street?
Greg Hayes.
Boom. Greg Hayes said that to me.
Ain't going to happen.
When he was asked about, I asked him about the tweets that the former president was doing and attacking him, he was kind of discussing how he handled that.
I do remember that. Interesting note out of B of A this morning about financials, Jim. Surpassing tech in dollar amount buyback year to date. Their records back to 2010 show that the sector with the biggest dollar amount in buybacks tends to outperform over the next several months. So they're bullish on financials.
Yeah, they are. The financials actually have, look at the multiples. I mean, JP Morgan only has 14 multiple. Goldman Sachs still at 8. But when you look at the tech multiples, you really have to question why they should buy back a lot of stock when they're selling at such high levels. So I think that financials are ripe for buybacks because, I mean, look at Morgan Stanley. Morgan Stanley's now an advisory company. And
yes, a lot of assets under management. Yeah.
By the way, Meg Terrell saying, listen, don't forget yesterday Fauci said emphasizing people should get the Regeneron. I'm not talking about that. I'm saying that the actual, there is, it's kind of like emergency use versus whatever. They need to make the Regeneron. I don't mean to just, I'm going to go right back to financials, but they need to make Regeneron to have the regular use like they did for Pfizer. I look at every, when I saw JP Morgan at 14 times earnings, I said, does that really deserve to have such a low multiple? Given the amount of cash it has, Bank of America, if you think rates are going to go higher, which I think they may, what a great steal. Why not buy back stock? They all have way too much capital. Versus, let's say, you know, Facebook does buyback, but Facebook's higher multiple. Apple does buyback, but Apple higher multiple. Apple today, Tony Saganegi.
And we're going to talk to Rod Hall later on this morning.
Rod Hall?
Yes, in the 10 a.m. from Goldman, who has been stubbornly neutral on the name.
You know, that's, you know, well, there's some people who were negative on Palo Alto.
That didn't work out too well for them.
No, that's a mistake there. Ill-advised strategy. Well, look, Rod Hall, what does it matter? If you're neutral, that gives you the optionality to speak incorrectly about Apple because you don't know it. No, just kidding. Rod Hall's a very smart guy, but who would have thought Apple would go out? Who would have thought?
Yeah, there's a good note out of Bernstein about Google's payment to Apple to be the iOS search choice.
How much did you pay? I did $27 last night at 3:45 a.m. I paid Apple.
Another $27 every night you're paying them.
Well, every night they think I'm... See, they don't think I see. I get up at 3. Tim Cook can't fool me.
We're going to talk about Tim Cook and others going to the White House later on today for that cybersecurity summit. Also got to make our way through some of these retail earnings. Dick's up 12% in the pre-market, and this downgrade of Nordstrom over at J.P. Morgan has Jim's attention. Future steady here. We're back in a moment.
For more than a decade, Comcast has been committed to bridging the digital divide and connecting millions to affordable, high-speed internet. But the barriers to get connected go well beyond affordability. Through Project Up, Comcast is committing $1 billion to reach millions with digital skills training, resources, and opportunities needed to succeed in a digital world. Project Up, building a future of unlimited possibilities. Learn more at comcast.com/projectup.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
NVIDIA announcing the Energy Department's new supercomputer will run on the company's computing platform. The chipmaker says the Polaris machine will handle AI workloads and enable, quote, scientific breakthroughs by tackling issues including clean energy and advancing cancer treatments. Comes as DOE Lab is waiting for a larger supercomputer from Intel that has been delayed for months. This is kind of interesting here.
This is one of those that's curious because when Jensen Huang, CEO of NVIDIA, one of the things he loves to talk about is the supercomputer, how fast they are. I mean, once demonstrated to me what it's like to try to land a man on Mars. You got to have the person go as fast as possible, and then a couple miles before they get there, they got to slow down quickly. And he said that's a supercomputer. You just need, it's like a trillion calculations. And I think that Intel had the contract, but and they're very insistent, by the way, that this is just temporary, and Intel's going to keep it. But I find temporary quizzical. Because if NVIDIA does it now, why do we have to wait for Intel?
The big tech and government contracts, I'm thinking JEDI, there's a new dispute now over at, challenge over at Amazon. Right. I mean, these are turning into very routine sort of discussions about who gets what
yes.
from DOD or DOE.
But, it's a very fluid situation. I think if anyone thought that Intel couldn't make the 7-nanometer, if anyone thought that Intel couldn't make this, I mean, you'd say, like, are you kidding me? It's Intel. Now, Pat Gelsinger inherited this team. I mean, Pat can't just turn it on like a dime. But I think the government's starting to realize that NVIDIA is the secret to a lot of different things that they need. Just the way that Mercedes-Benz realized that NVIDIA is well ahead on autonomous driving, including Waymo. I think they're well ahead. And remember, this big sticking point on autonomous driving is black ice. And if they can crack black ice, then you're going to be riding a Benz. David, we never expected. If you were to be the Mr. Benz, Mr. Mercedes, Mr. Audi, if you were Porsche, you would never have had a human at the wheel. Humans are way too stupid and way proclivity to drink and sleep. You would have had an autonomous driver. So we got to rethink the whole process.
But I'm surprised to hear you say that NVIDIA is ahead of everybody. Why?
I was surprised, too.
But by the way, black ice is not that
common. Well, I know. He just showed me black ice. That's an example of a difficult thing. For
one difficult thing
right.
that they're still trying to tackle.
No, but if you'll go through the last quarter, NVIDIA is more certain of their stance in terms of autonomous than they've ever been. I'm betting on Benz. I'll tell you. What do you want?
I don't know what my choices are.
Ford?
Ford Argo?
You love Ford.
I do love Ford, but not when it comes to autonomous.
I didn't name my dog after Ford.
No, you
That's
didn't.
True. That is
no,
true.
You didn't.
When we come back, we'll dive into Dick's Sporting Goods. Going to hit an all-time high at the open as they crush the estimate, 20% div hike, a special dividend, accelerate the buyback, and a lot more. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash, and we'll count down to the opening bell. Don't go away.
You seek the key. But first, you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system up to a 313-mile range and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is their most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today.
All right, let's get to Jim and the Mad Dash. Let's start talking some stocks.
Boston Beer.
Yeah, Boston Beer.
There was a time, David, when the fastest growing category in the world was hard seltzer. Everybody wanted to do hard seltzer. Boston Beer was a leader.
Oh, yeah, that's not that great a chart. Cowen this morning comes out and says in the 4 weeks ended 8/14/21, hard seltzer revenues declined 0.4%, marking the first ever decline we have seen for the category. David, it's over.
It is. The hard seltzer craze is over.
Yes. Hard seltzer has now been something that, well, if you ask for one, David, I'm going to say last year, pal.
Really?
Yeah, it's last year.
Now, let's not forget. I think let's go back a little bit more on this chart if we can, because Boston Beer still had an incredible run on
the
back of.
So did Sam Adams, but he never made president.
No, it's true. On the back. I mean, there.
Oh, there's a chart for you.
Although, man.
That's like K2. That's not even Everest. That's K2.
That is
the most dangerous mountain ever.
Serious decline. I mean, not that long ago. Yeah. I didn't realize this year has been so tough for this.
Yeah, this is where,
so is it already,
this is where Mallory succumbed has it, Everest.
Has it accounted for the drop that they're talking about or the lack of growth that they're now expecting?
I don't know, David. You got to say, I mean, they did cut the price target. They went from 825 price target to 400.
Ooh.
So, I don't know.
Ooh.
I know. I think it's really, they went right through base camp, too.
Yeah.
Right? What do you think of that?
Sure did. Yeah, that's clear.
What do you think of that?
I like that.
I once tried to climb, I was online to climb Everest.
Who, well, any other comps here? Any other comps that should be?
Well, Coca-Cola just moved into it very aggressively. Constellation's moved into it.
Right.
Bud's into it. But the only one I like is Intuit. That stock had a great quarter.
Did it?
Yeah, unbelievable quarter. And that's because of Credit Karma. How often do you check your credit score?
I haven't checked mine in a while.
Well, people do.
I know they do.
I segued, David, because I wanted to have more than one.
One to talk about.
Because you said that we've only been talking about, I don't know.
Supercomputers.
Supercomputers.
And COVID. Yeah, I like talking companies and stocks. And we're going to do a lot more of that, actually, when we come back. Don't forget that you can catch us anytime, anywhere. You can listen to us. When we talk about all these different things,
we try to make
some stocks on our podcast.
What I tell you, Abbott Labs. Regeneron,
yeah,
and get rid of Boston Beer. Well, actually, the time to get rid of Boston Beer was right when they summited.
Back after this.
Got a trio of retail names to watch, Nordstrom, Urban, and Dick's today. The Nordstrom move has been accelerated by the downgrade at J.P. Morgan to underweight. Price target 34. Jim, you were mentioning earlier, Matt's point generally is that given where the high-income consumer is and where inventories are, they should be doing better.
Yeah, I mean, he questions, it's an existential piece. He really questions the execution here, but he also questions the idea that if you can't do good numbers in this environment, you're just never going to do good numbers. And what I thought wasn't really what was so bad was Nordstrom's. I had always hoped that Rack, which I like very much, was going to do well. And he said Rack has fallen so far behind the rest of the industry that it's astonishing. And I have to tell you that it does feel like Macy's when it was about to break down. David, there was a deal at one point, right, to for the
Nordstrom had contemplated a go private at a higher price than this, but they never quite got there. They never got there.
Should they
the financing
be
was tough.
Should they be grateful?
The family would have rolled in. Well, no. I mean, shareholders might have gotten taken out of
it. No, I'm saying I mean, the people who.
Oh, maybe. You know,
brothers.
I'd love to come back to Dick's, though, for a second. Because
sure, I got great stuff
you
on
talk
Dick's.
A lot. You know, you do talk a lot about those retailers that are succeeding against Amazon. Best Buy yesterday we saw with strong numbers, strong performance overall.
Right.
Dick's is another example, perhaps, Jim, of a company that's succeeding in brick and mortar right now.
Very much. I mean, Dick's did what Best Buy did, which is basically say, listen, let's take the hit. Let's spend a fortune. Let's get up to speed. Let's have good omnichannel. Let's invest in tech. And it's all paid off. Let's order stuff ahead of when people need it. Let's be local. By the way, Under Armour, Nike, yes, good read-through. But they have done so much to be able to manage the supply chain. They did that fabulous Mother's Day promotion. By the way, Galaxy Golf is on fire. They have done so many things, and that's why you get a special dividend. That's why you get a quarterly dividend that's up, and that's why you get a buyback that's up substantially. It's really a tremendous story.
Yeah, all-time high there for DKS. There's the opening bell and the CNBC real-time exchange. And the big board at SmartRent, a software company specializing in home automation, going public via SPAC. at the NASDAQ satellite company Rocket Labs, also a SPAC debut. And CEO Peter Beck ringing the bell there and is going to join us in the next hour. As for Urban Gym, which has been stuck in the 30s for most of the year, the dreaded supply chain commentary sort of.
Yeah, it's a shame that that's the focus, because I love the fact that they are with this newly. They're now imitating both Rent the Runway, and now they're actually going after the Poshmarks, which is this kind of whole idea of the circular ecological function of clothes. Mm-hmm. I like the quarter because of low promotional activity. I like the fact that they've ordered stuff ahead of port congestion. They had 20% comps, but the market has said, look, the stock's been up a lot. This is not enough. And when you compare it to Best Buy, which has been the new standard, and Dick's, then you start wondering and saying, well, I guess they just weren't as good. Dick's was incredible, by the way. And Best Buy, that conference call, you have to listen to it, because they thought of everything. And what Best Buy's become is your IT at home. When you do, you know, when you do work from home, you're information. Dave, you can't call IT and them come to your house, but you can get a subscription and become a member of Best Buy and have the Geek Squad come to your house endlessly. So, you know, you're out there wherever you are and you're on Zoom and something breaks and you feel like a pitiful, helpless giant. You can call the Geek Squad 24/7, which is particularly good when you do a lot of business, say, in Asia.
And they will come?
Yes. VIP service, David. I'm really? Going to sign up. I am.
Sounds like a good value.
I think it's a great value.
What is this, QVC?
Yeah. What do you think, Jim?
Only units are going fast.
They are going fast.
Only $199.
We're practicing
right now.
This is our future.
If you act now.
Intuit, Jim, one of the best-looking 20-year charts I think we show. They beat revenue ahead, div hike. Morgan Stanley goes to 615. They say it's really a company graduating from sort of macro tailwinds to a reinvention on digital.
Yeah, they crushed it when it came to H&R Block, because that H&R Block was brick and mortar, the last place you want to go during a COVID epidemic. This Credit Karma, people laughed at them when they made that acquisition because Credit Karma had this kind of silly name, right? You know, karma.
Yeah.
But you have none.
Thank you. Karma is a boomerang.
Well, okay, lead tasso. People like that, by the way. But what I like about Intuit is that it saves small business people and medium business people accounting. Anybody who owns a small business knows that it's always been an incredible bear to be able to be in compliance with the government, IRS, trying to figure out your books. Intuit does it all. They also had a lot of PPP. When I've had them on Mad Money, what I realize is that they are reinventing small, medium-sized business, and it's working. They've become, I think, one of the most trusted brands. People check their credit all the time, but more importantly is QuickBooks. Anybody can be an accountant with that, and that saves a small business a lot of money. It's a great company.
DraftKings 3-month high as Cathie Wood buys.
She's relentless.
A little over a million shares.
How did you get Sasson? He's my guy. I mean, congratulations on getting Sasson. I'm sorry, I was way out of line with that. DraftKings, you're about to get in football season, and that is their sweet spot. They're kind of like IRS tax season. And I did some work for DraftKings last year, and I think that Jason Robbins is a very smart guy. They'll be offering those contests where if you think that Brady's going to score 1 point, you get to do it.
There's a lot of things that you can wager on.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm not allowed to gamble, and I think that's right.
You're not allowed to?
No. No. It's okay. Taiwan Semi sub 4, that's good for Micron.
It is.
Some reporting that the TSM's going to roll out a 10% price hike.
Yes, they can't do that without demand. And if that's the case, then maybe the naysayers on Micron are going to have to start covering. It's been an unbelievably good short. We don't know how long the cycle is this time. Obviously, they make DRAMs, which is the least complicated.
Yep.
Other than the full feature $2 to $3 chips, say, that GlobalFoundries makes, that all the auto companies need.
Where are we on that, Jim? Because
we're not great.
You know, I'm curious. You've had a good level of communication with a number of the automakers.
Yes.
What are you hearing in terms of the chip shortage right now?
I think that when you look at the new product line from Ford, whether it be the Maverick, whether it be the Mach-E, the Electric, people are just loving the Electric, by the way, or the Bronco. It's easing for them. They're getting more supply. It depends. They're going to focus on having enough chips, definitely for the Lightning, particularly the high-end Lightning, which is, by the way, an extraordinary product where they have double the number of people they thought they would have. And they're assuring me that they'll be able to make it.
They are.
Yes, they are. They are assuring me.
And meet the demand.
Yes. Now, there are some battery issues. They have to make enough batteries to be able to do it. But the demand's real. And I think Jim Farley's going to pull it off. And I think, therefore, the stock's too cheap.
Because the dealer inventory levels are still extraordinarily low. Well, now, that's not that bad for the dealers.
Remember,
I mean, as long as they can keep selling at some sort of a pace. But
Ford is trying, Jim Farley's trying to do something very different. He's doing a reservation system. I mean, right. He has hardcore reservations. About more than 70% of the people are new to Ford.
Right.
So that's kind of the hope, the holy grail. The electrified, I don't know if you guys got the electrified, they pushed the, I don't know if you signed it. Did you get the email from Ford yesterday?
No.
This thing is like, you can use it to light your house
up.
It's really exciting.
Yeah, it's a generator.
Yeah, my Maverick will not be able to do that, David, but you and I can drive around my Maverick and you can park it because it's much smaller.
What does that look like, a Maverick?
It's like a half a pickup truck because I'm like half a guy.
It's half a pickup truck.
Yeah, it's the size. But you can throw the fish in the back. Or
you can
throw
the fish.
Trees, yeah.
Trees?
Well, you know, if you want to.
The plants.
Not the Great American Tree Machine. I'm not talking about that.
Oh, okay.
But the Maverick is, what can I say, not in yet? How about that?
Guys, I got so much to get to today on SPACs
You got
like
the 10 o'clock hour.
I know.
You got that whole hour
can we
yourself.
Go for the next 23 minutes? Because we haven't gotten to it in the first 37 minutes of the show.
What are you going to do, a SPAC report?
I am. I'm going to
do
a favor
Johnny,
report
Johnny
and a SPAC report. I don't know if we got Johnny Gilbert.
How did you do when you said, at the beginning you were
imitating. And
now, imitating
here
that.
Is the host of the Faber Report, David Faber.
Thank you, Johnny Gilbert. All right. Yeah, there we go. I'm back to you. Guys, I want to talk about SPACs. Let me give you a quick rundown on what we're going to hit first here. Bill Ackman, again, remember the largest SPAC out there. Actually, one of the more favorable for investors in terms of at least an alignment of incentives with the actual SPAC holders for Tontine. But we're going to talk about Bill Ackman's SPAC. We're going to talk about the lawsuits. I reported on this yesterday. I want to clarify some of those things. I want to talk about minimum cash requirements in SPACs. This is coming up a lot lately, given the very high level of shareholder redemptions. All right, first to Ackman. He put out another letter basically saying, listen, he's going to try to move to a SPARC, which is a new vehicle he's creating that he wants to get the SEC to sign off on. If it's approved by the SEC and he gets the SPARC warrants as well for listing, he says, then you know what I'm going to do with PSTH? If we haven't actually entered a merger transaction, I'm going to give you your money back, all $4 billion of it. And then you're going to get an opportunity to participate in the SPARC, which is different. They don't take your money. It's kind of an option to participate in a future deal. It would be a new structure. Remember, Ackman's SPAC was so large, it made it very difficult to find a potential target. He talked about things like Bloomberg, which I've reported is not going to happen, and any number of others. It does seem likely he's going to give the money back. But again, to his credit, at least, the incentives there were much better aligned with that of his SPAC holders. And I want to get to that in a bit. Let's go back to the lawsuit. Remember, one of the reasons why Ackman is doing this is his lawsuit that they got, saying that they should be regulated under the 40 Act as an investment company. Yesterday, I'd reported on what might be a proliferation of those lawsuits. They're not going to come, though, from the people suing Ackman. I can tell you that at this point. However, I am hearing from any number of SPAC sponsors. They've been contacted by lawyers. It's unclear at this point, though, whether these are simply plaintiff's lawyers that are going to be following up with similar arguments without great merit. But it does have a chilling effect on the SPAC market overall, Jim. And it will. Remember, time is your enemy as a SPAC sponsor. You want to get your deal done and approved or announced and approved. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I did want to back off a bit yesterday from indicating in some way that Mr. Jackson, the former SEC commissioner, and any of the people who are suing on Tontine are going to actually broaden out. That is not expected to be the case.
But the chilling effect is very real.
But the chilling effect could be real. You could have a lot more plaintiff's attorneys. And again, I know a lot of sponsors have been contacted by lawyers. All right, let's move on to
That's news.
Let's
people
move on to an interesting move today in a particular stock. which is not one I've ever talked about. LWAC is what I'm talking about here. It's Locust Walk Acquisition. We'll take a look at the stock if we can, because this is going to get to a look at that. What's going on here? Well, there's a new, I wouldn't say new, but there is a relatively new phenomenon here. You're getting enormous redemptions in many of these stocks, in many of these SPACs. In other words, shareholders saying, you know what, I want my 10 bucks. I want my 10, whatever the redemption price might be. And yet they are still voting in favor of the deals, but it is having the effect of reducing the actual cash that is coming in to the company once they actually affect the merger, not to mention it is vastly reducing the amount of shares that are actually outstanding. Couple this with what has been a recent trend amongst investors to short SPACs that are about to close their transaction in the expectation that, in fact, it might move lower. And what do you have? Well, let's just give you the numbers on Locust Walk, all right? 71.7% of the shares were voted in favor, of outstanding shares voted in favor. Deal was approved. But you know what? 17 million shares were redeemed. What was that as a percentage? It's like 95% of the shares were redeemed, Jim. I want my money back, even though I voted in favor. And what did that have the effect of doing? Well, anybody short it suddenly finds themselves today saying, wait a second, I can't borrow this stock anymore. I can't cover it. What am I going to do?
It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, my God.
I got a huge short squeeze on my hands. All these shares that I expected would be outstanding are gone.
It's terminal.
Yeah. Now, by the way, it also had the effect of vastly reducing the amount of cash that was available to the company that that LWAC, Locust Walk, was acquiring. But they waived the minimum cash requirement. They said, all right, we'll make do with the $5.2 million that's coming in. We'll add that to what we already have. We'll have about, what, $60 million total in gross proceeds. That's well below the $100 million we anticipated having. It's the company, by the way, that needs to waive that minimum cash requirement. The sponsor doesn't. But then, guys, I just get back to the misincentives, the lack of alignment in incentives.
Oh, my God, Gary
Gensler.
So many
of these sponsors,
Gary Gensler has to stop this.
You know, still, I find they don't seem to be, why aren't they renegotiating deal prices down? Because they want to get the deal done no matter what. Why? Because even if it goes to 5 or 4, they are still going to make money, even though you as a holder might be down 50%. They don't renegotiate deals. Take a look at the background to some of the transactions of these deals. Look at the amount of due diligence that was done. Look at the lack, frankly, of overall information we get in terms of any transparency. There just continues to be a misalignment of incentives. And it's a very basic one. Not for pipe holders, by the way, who also are on the line here when these minimum cash requirements aren't met because of these high levels of redemptions. But it's something that we continue to have to watch.
How
the sponsors
doing?
Not all SPACs are bad.
How sponsors doing?
Sponsors make money, even down to very low levels. And that's the key here.
Okay, so go ahead. Not all SPACs are bad.
No, they're not. There are some deals that make sense, that are funky in some way, that wouldn't make them appropriate for the public markets in a typical IPO. But there are so many that we have to keep a closer eye on. Finally, let's go to all our SPAC indexes. You've taken a look at it. The CNBC SPAC 50 you're looking at right there. That is the 50 SPACs that haven't announced deals. All right, so they're trading ever so slightly above par. We got the deal index. Those are the ones where you've already announced the deal, but you haven't closed it. And that's well below par. And then you got post SPACs, where we keep an eye on how do they actually perform once they've closed the deal.
Oh, my.
And those aren't doing well either.
Remember, this is an S&P that's up gigantically. So if you just had an S&P fund, you've crushed these guys.
But there's a lot of arbitrage available as well. You can get 4x leverage on a redemption. In other words, something's trading at $9.60, let's say, and you buy it, you can get 4x leverage. All right, it's a spread. You might get delayed, but it's kind of not a bad rate of return for some of these
things. The famous name SPACs, the people who were not really business
not
people.
Not great. So many of them not perform particularly well. I mean, huge money has been made. Michael Klein's of the world, Chamath's of the world. Bill Foley SPACs.
Ooh, I get asked about them constantly.
They have not worked. They have not done well.
They've been bad, but that wine that he has in that ad.
The wine is nice.
White chalk, what is it?
Wine is good. He's a great guest, but those SPACs have not been performing well.
No, I mean, I don't mean to joke. There's some serious money lost in this. I mean, serious.
So we'll be keeping an eye on
things. And it's not like you didn't tell people.
No, we talked a lot about it.
You said this was going to happen.
It goes back to that basic misalignment incentives. The SPAC sponsor is perhaps even incented to pay up, to get in a SPAC off, to pay more than they should have, and then not necessarily renegotiate a deal down.
And Mike Semblist,
conspiratorial.
Sometimes they
than
do,
he is.
But rarely.
Said to get out of these. He did a piece a few months ago saying, listen, this is going to be the disaster. Thank you, Mike Semblis. He can fish off a kayak like he would.
Really?
You Wait. Have gone fishing, yes. You've mentioned
I Semblis, I, my stepson fishes with his son, too. His son's a great fisher.
I would just.
Overall, largely flattish action here. Dow's down 54. S&P's roughly flat. As we go to break, watch Treasuries today. We did get to 1.314 on the 10-year. That was the highest since August 13. Overall, though, the Ford just delaying return to office. American Airlines saying that Q3 revenue is trending below their prior internal forecast has a little bit of the risk-off trade going. Be right back. We're going to be watching the White House later on this afternoon, we think around 1 or 2 o'clock, as they hold this summit on cybersecurity to announce a series of initiatives meant to address some of the systemic cybersecurity weaknesses in this country. CEOs from Apple, IBM, Microsoft, Amazon, JP Morgan, we now believe, Jim.
Huh. Where is Dikesh Arora from Palo Alto Networks, perhaps this nation's best cybersecurity brain? Too bad. Should have been there.
There's Sundar Pichai from Alphabet. Who did you ask about yesterday? Intel, Gelsinger? I haven't seen him on the list.
No, Gelsinger's got I think he's tinkering with that supercomputer.
Right. Yes.
I'd rather not talk about supercomputer since you trashed us for talking about supercomputer.
Oh, didn't trash us. It's important. Listen, it has to go. It goes back to, by the way, all these things, all roads lead to China. Now, Russia is obviously a prime suspect as well in terms of in terms of cyber crime and spying, but cyber espionage, the Chinese supercomputers, competing with the Chinese, so many different areas where
there are some business people trying to get a little bit better relationship with China. I thought that was important. It's a sub rosa move. But
you're not one of them.
I love the Chinese people. My father worked for China. Chinese
not a fan of the government.
Years.
Interesting.
Greatest.
Bloomberg's got a piece out this morning about some prominent economists in China.
Yes.
Writing in some publications that robbing the rich to pay for the poor results in the opposite of common prosperity, in their view. So a little bit of pushback on what she's been saying.
Well, look, yesterday we talked about the amount of prosperity that they have created.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that they did it as a dictatorship.
We did see, back to stocks, a significant bump up in many of the names, in part on earnings for Pinduoduo or JD.
Right.
You can see today, though, giving up a bit. But yesterday was a big day.
Oh, yesterday.
Tencent
was back.
And Tencent committing over $7 billion, I think, to initiatives to help rural farmers and the like.
I continue to think that Wynn is the safest way to play them. Wynn has Macau and the government. Changed, made it so that it was easier to get there COVID test wise. And David, what I'm going to give you a stock that I think you'll be looking at.
Please.
Abbott Labs.
Come back to Abbott Labs.
Binax, David.
What is that?
Oh my God.
No, just explain it to people because you say it and maybe some of our viewers don't know what
you're
talking about.
Two in a box, sometimes $19, sometimes $23. You open up a plastic thing, out comes a thingy that you drop six drops in. You got to do that. Then you open up the swab, but open it up from the wood side. You know, the paper's not from the fuzzy thing side. And then you circle your nose five times. Then you circle the next nostril. Then you go back. You'll get false positives if you don't do it this way.
Okay.
And then do that again. You then put it under, after you drip things, you put it under the little hole. You wait 15 minutes. If there's two lines, sayonara. If there's one line, well, you're home free. You play again until the next time you test. And I suggest people test every morning. Like I do.
Every morning you do that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Every really?
Two lines.
All right.
But I also check my balance with Chase times.
And your savings rate.
And my Credit Karma. So maybe I'm just a belt and suspenders guy.
By the way, Moderna has now, on the tape, completed their submission of the application to the FDA. They say efficacy does remain durable through 6 months after the second dose.
6 months. Stocks up 4%.
Yep. Back,
good.
Back well above 400. Coming
Moderna
up in the next
travel.
Hour, we'll be joined first on CNBC by the Deputy National Security Advisor for Cyber as we talk more about that summit. In the meantime, Dow's down 54. Don't go away. Let's Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
I want to start with Toll, whom unfortunately I have Doug Yearly on tonight. It's really just a gent. Toll reported a terrific quarter, and initially the stock was down big. But as they go on and on, talk, it's the demand. And this is the Delta demand, guys. I mean, there were people who thought that it was going to peak, the office at home. No, forget about it. And the millennials are also buying homes. So it's just a very good secular growth story. We're not used to hearing about that when it comes to housing. Secular growth. But Toll's doing a great job. Lennar is a strong industry. By the way, gross margins improved, which is really incredible given how much the raw costs have gone up. So
Tonight?
Doug is on.
Yes.
Doug's pure joy, by the way. Better Philadelphia accent than I have? No. Mine is much more like Kate Winslet. Then look at this.
Wow.
Salesforce.
Look at that. Wow.
What? And Fruits, you know, Frank Slootman, the Flying Dutchman.
Man.
Erasmus School, Erasmus College, probably the hardest school in Europe. And Mark Benioff, who, well, you know, Jim, we had to.
Yeah, that's two good guests on Return to the Office,
well,
for sure.
Yeah. We're going to stay late tonight because Frank's going to do his call, and we do whatever's necessary.
We'll see you at 6. Mad Money, of course, 6 p.m. with Jim Cramer.
You've been listening to the opening hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.